We're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. If everyone could please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Lynn, if you could do the roll call.
Trustee Dye.
Here.
Trustee Frimpleton.
Here.
Trustee Howard.
Here.
Trustee Piacek.
Here.
Trustee Lloyd is absent, and Trustee Levi is absent.
Great, thank you. And do we have any public participation?
No requests.
Great, thank you. Well, I'll just kick it off by saying thanks, everyone. Great event today. Good to be at the DeLand campus, and what an exciting building. So looking forward to that. And with that, Tom, I'm going to turn it over to you temporarily.
Okay. Sorry.
Mr. President,
okay, yes,
if I could, to continue the way we are traveling down this road, I would like to nominate the current chair and the current vice chair to another term.
Okay. Do I need to take that individual the vote on each position, or can I do it together?
You can do it as one slate.
Okay. So we have a nomination for chair for Dr. Randy Howard and to continue, and also vice chair for Bob Wood.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. And congratulations.
Thank you.
And Bob, congratulations to you. I'm not sure he knows you got reelected, but
we'll let him know.
We'll let him know.
All right, with that, we will move on to the consent agenda. Does anybody have an item they want to remove for discussion? Hearing none, can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Consent agenda passes. Tom, the information only items?
Yep. So you have the information only items. It's are the agreements under the purchasing agreement and the surplus donations. Any questions on those?
No.
Okay. And my time.
Over to you.
All right. All right. Well, thank you again for, you know, being here today for the, you know, momentous occasion for a groundbreaking, which is great to see. I think it's going to really energize the DeLand campus and the vision to create this location as the Emergency Services Center for Daytona State College, and really bring it to the state-of-the-art level is exciting and it'd be good for the community. So thank you for that. One of a few updates in front of you is this Falcon Safe card. It's a new app that we have purchased. It'll be rolling out to staff shortly, and this will be on, it's Android and Apple phone compatible. And what this does, it gives quick direct access to 911 if you need it. The safety if you need it, and the thing about this technology, it pinpoints where you are, which is good. And there's a pretty neat feature, the one, the virtual campus walk. So if you're at a building, it's late at night, you're gonna walk to your car, you can hit that, tell campus safety you're heading to your car, and then campus safety can see, and then they'll, you know, if you don't check in with them, they'll check with you to make sure you got to your car. And it also works with for a friend. So additional safety functions, so this will roll out to all the students as soon as they enroll in classes as well. So nice additional functionality we're offering our staff as well as our students. Hosted Lake Sumter State College came to visit our residence hall, as that's our secret's out, and everyone wants to do a residence hall now. But it was, you know, great to host them, and they seem to be pretty impressed with that facility. And as you know, we are, you know, launching our second phase here, and we're working on that. We had a financial audit entrance conference. Dr. Howard was there, pretty standard, but it'll be our financial audit, and you know, we've done extremely well, so we don't anticipate any issue, but that's you know, we'll have an entrance and then we'll have an exit once they conclude that. And other than that, our athletes are back. They came back August 1st. They moved in. I think there was about 100 of them. Something. 85 athletes moved in. So their preseason has begun. I went to our women's team played Embry Riddle last night. They did well. We lost 2-0, but competitive. So looking promising, and their seasons will start here soon. And that's it for my report.
Great, thank you. With that, we'll move on to facilities.
Good afternoon. Okay, our first item for facilities is the Construction Management Risk Services Deltona Campus Building 1 Welding Lab. It was sent out to 18 pre-qualified contractors, and we had submittals by 3. You can see the 3 firms in the board memo there. We had a college selection committee that gets together, reviews the submittals, does background checks, interviews, and so forth with the qualifying firms. And they rank the firms. So the rankings also in the board memo. The FPAC committee has also reviewed the rankings of these particular 3. And what we're asking for here is recommendation is for approval of the rankings of the firms and allowing the college to enter into negotiations with the top ranked firm, which is Ajax Building Construction.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. Item number 2 under facilities is the delivery order contractor selection. This allows the college to kind of target the firms that were selected and for minor projects, small renovation, remodel, and construction projects under like the $1 million threshold. So again, we sent out it to a vast group of 23 pre-qualified contractors. We had responses by 8 firms. You can see the firms in your packet. We then interviewed 6 of those firms and then narrowed it down further with the committee down to the top 4. Also in the memo here, again, this was reviewed by our FPAC committee, and the recommendation is to approve those top 4 firms for delivery order contractors, allowing the college to utilize them for qualifying projects.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. And the last item under facilities is an information item. Dr. LaBassa just referenced the phase 2 of the residence hall. You'll remember last in July we had a special board meeting and we brought the information item. It's very similar. The architect was the top ranked. PQH group was the top ranked firm at that time. This is just going one step further. We've now got a negotiated contract with a dollar amount. You'll see it in there. Just over $1.7 million, that would be the cap, not to exceed amount. If construction were to fall under the threshold that they're predicting based on square footage and so forth, that fee would adjust accordingly. This has gone to our housing board already for approval. And again, just information item for this particular board.
Thank you.
That concludes the facilities. Unless we have any questions, I'll put on my finance cap. So, financial update for the college. As is the norm for the first board meeting in August for each fiscal year, we don't do a full-blown financial report, and the reason being is we're still closing out the prior fiscal year. So staff has been working all summer to get that done. We're almost there. And then we use those, we have to roll those final balances, balance sheet equity items over to the new fiscal year, and that's what establishes our new reporting numbers for this fiscal year. So in September will be the first full-blown financial report for the board to see. Aside from that, Dr. LaBassa mentioned we just had our entrance conference for the audit for the financial audit. That'll be starting in November, December timeframe is when they like to get started. So we're also preparing for our auditors. Staying along the same topic of audits, we're also currently going through a housing corporation, the DSO audit. That is soon to wrap up as we use those numbers to also go in our college financial report. report for the fiscal year. So we're very audit heavy this time of year, and a lot going on in the finance office, so staying very busy. And finally, one last update. If you recall, in June, we brought to you a board memo to authorize us to transfer funds from Fund 1 to Fund 3 and Fund 7. And at that time, we just asked for up to amounts. And I believe for Fund 3, it was up to $2 million. For Fund 7, it was up to $7 million. Now we finalized those numbers, and I just wanted to bring back and let you know the actual number. We did $1,823,000 from Fund 1 to Fund 3, and the full $7 million to Fund 7, which couldn't come at a better time as we see the increased costs on some projects, this firing range being one of them, and it's causing the college to have to kick in, you know, bigger college matches than we might have done in the past. So to continue to fund 7 construction fund is very important with just the sheer size and the cost of projects these days. So we're doing our due diligence there, and that was good. So that concludes the financial update. The next item I have are our information items for the payments over $50,000. This is for both the month of June and July, and nothing unusual there. And my last item, as I said, we're pretty audit happy, so the third and final audit was our foundation audit. This was for the year ending December 31st, 2022. This audit has already been completed and issued. This is an information item for the board. It's been presented to both the foundation board chair as well as our vice chair, who was sitting in for Dr. Howard when that exit conference took place. So it's been accepted by the foundation, and again, just bringing it to your attention. Glad to report that it was an unmodified clean opinion, best opinion you can get, no internal control weaknesses or findings otherwise. So very good audit result on the Hahn Foundation. And that concludes the financial report.
Great, thank you, Brian. Any questions? Alrighty.
Thank you.
Academic affairs.
Good afternoon, trustees, Dr. Vaso, colleagues. This is an information item only, and it refers to the attachment 18 in page 123 of your book. The purpose of this review is to look at the cost of textbooks and instructional materials by course and course section. This is particularly for the fall of 2023 for our core curriculum. The prices that you see come from Follett, which is our bookstore provider, and includes retail, new and used, rental, new and used, digital, and subscription where applicable. The report also indicates whether the textbooks will be used for more than one semester and if open educational resources, OER, are used. That concludes my report, unless you have any questions.
Any questions? All righty, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Tom, we'll go on to the constituent head.
Yes, and we'll kick off. I saw Gael here. Gael from Student Government Association. Come on up.
Summer, we held summer bi-weekly meetings working on things for the fall events and the spring semester. We had workshops to explain to the officers what their positions are and how what they're required. For fall events, we began working on the welcome back events. SGO will have outdoor games, activities, flyers, swag. And as you can see, these are our welcome backs for the fall and the fall events.
Thank you. And the TRIO program got to experience for the first time ever an opportunity to stay overnight in the residence hall. They did a three night stay over and kind of full immersion into the college experience. So it was really nice to have that option this year. Okay, so we got multiple ones. Dante Leon for administrative counsel is not here. And Naris Inman will be presenting for the administrative council.
Incorrect.
Not Dante at all.
Exactly.
Good afternoon to our trustees and our guests. I do have a few updates on Dante's behalf. The first thing that we did hold a brief transition meeting about a week ago, led by our beloved Alicia Alexander, and she has finally stepped away fully from that role. Our next order of business is to set our monthly schedule for our reoccurring meetings, and we believe that they'll start early September, and we'll get those dates out to you in advance if we block out some time on the calendar. Next, we did decide in that brief meeting to fully support the canned food drive for the Falcon Hope Center, and that's throughout this month of August. And then the last order of business was to begin planning for the homecoming 5K run, and so that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. And for Career Employee Association, John Penny. Is John here? I don't think I saw John. Okay. I guess there's no report there. And then Faculty Senate, I did see Paul Capps. We're almost in Paul's backyard, so I expected him to be here.
Please excuse my informal attire. I figured if we were going to be outside today in the 110 degree heat, I was going to forego the long sleeve shirt and tie. The Faculty Senate has not met since the last time this group has met. Our first meeting is next week following Dr. Labasso's welcome back, where we will be awarding several very deserving faculty of the Faculty Senate awards, things like Teacher of the Year, Faculty Advocate of the Year, those kinds of awards. That. Faculty Senate is looking, or the faculty is looking forward to another great year and a reaccreditation, obviously very high on our list of priorities and what we're going to be focusing on. The first big issue also coming up, artificial intelligence, ChatGPT. We're going to be addressing that in our September meeting. This for Chairman Howard. Real quick, if a train leaves Boston, 65 miles an hour, to Chicago, and then goes from Chicago to LA at 80 miles an hour, how many of the passengers would decide to just fly straight for United?
That seems like a trick question.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Well, flights are going today.
I might take the train.
And for professional counsel, there she is, Gina Clark. Hiding in the back.
Back the Professional Counsel Spotlight Awards, and we actually had 14 nominations, and so we did give those out at our last meeting, and we have more at our next meeting, which is tomorrow. So we're excited about that. We didn't just get professional nominations. We had career employees, administrative employees, and faculty that all received awards, and we hope that we continue that and building that partnership so that we all feel the love as we all do this work together. Our food drive for the Falcon Hope Center that we started on August 1st got a little slow start, so we're going to extend it through September the 15th, which will allow when there's more people back on campus and all the campuses. And we were delayed. We've got to get the box to the ATC, so that's happening today. It's in the back of my car. So we want to extend that to the 15th. Our next meeting again is tomorrow. Next Friday, we're having a meet and greet at Building 300, the adult ed suite. We're going to have some light refreshments and door prizes, trying to get more participation so that people are aware of the professional council and get involved. Our future planning, we're planning a fundraiser that will start in the middle of September, and the proceeds will go to the Basket Brigade for our students that are needing meals for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And of course, the door decorating contest that we're going to do for homecoming, so we're in the process of getting all of that stuff begun. That's all I have.
Thank you, Jim. That concludes the constituent report.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Just a few quick comments. First off, a quick meeting today, but does not mean, of course, that it wasn't critically important. And just thanks to everybody that prepared the materials, the updates. You know, if you're in the academic field, or if you have school kids at home, or whatever it might be, fall is always an exciting time because you've had the summer to hopefully get a little bit of rest, but now you're getting ready to crank back up with all the excitement and taking care of our students and helping them succeed. And as a board, we greatly appreciate all the faculty and staff do to make sure we excel at that mission. So exciting time of the year for sure. A couple of things. I always like getting the Daytona State news messages or when Tom sends something out. And I was excited to see the one recently about the teacher program in reading, if I remember, with the only state college in the entire system that got an A grade for that training. And that's the future of our country, if you think about it, is teaching young people. And so kudos to anybody that was involved in that. Great recognition and a great article by the paper. So nice to see that. And again, we already commented on it, but a great event today. You know, we sometimes forget about all the people that make these events happen. So, you know, all the staff and team and even safety. I was commenting earlier to Kelly that every time I pull up to an event, the safety folks are just always so nice and so on it. And we just appreciate all they do to keep the institution running smoothly. Second on my list is the accreditation site visit that's coming up. Everyone that I've ever been involved in, they certainly will reach out to at least one, maybe more board members. I guess you never really know until they show up, but most of the times I would say it's, what, two or three?
They were three this time.
Oh, they said three. Okay, great. So, you know, we've been kept in the loop about all the great preparation that the team's done. We've, you know, they've shared with us a lot of the work and what they've submitted and that the countless hours that went into preparing the materials. And just encourage the board. I don't know if we're going to hand it out or if you're going to make it available, or she's going to talk about it.
A little presentation.
Awesome. There's a great section on what, you know, a board member's role is, and always good to refresh your memory on that, perhaps before the site visit. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Amy to help me out.
Yes, we are getting ready after lots of preparation. Thank you for recognizing that. We are ready for the site visit. And I want to talk just a little bit about the visit, a little bit about the QEP, and particularly the role of the board. So the on-site visit is September 24th through 28th. It's 39 days from now, but no one's counting. This is the visit where it only happens once every 10 years. Reacclimation of our accreditation with SAC COC. We will have 10 visitors from other colleges, 4 from Texas, 2 from South Carolina, 1 from Louisiana, 1 from Mississippi, and 2 SAC's vice presidents will be in the contingent. One president is in the group. The chair is Dr. Jesus Campos from South Texas College. And then we have another Texas College president in the group as well. While they're here for these 4 days, they will visit four campuses: Daytona Beach Campus, ATC, DeLand Campus, this campus, and the News Journal Center. They can visit others upon request, but this is what they have asked specifically to do. The exit conference is Thursday, September 28th. It will take place at their hotel. Dr. Labasso and a small group will be there, and then once they give us their preliminary results, they are out of there, and we can't ask them anything else. It's very formal. They say, here you go, thank you, goodbye, and they're gone. And then we all deep breath. We provide accommodations for this group. They're going to be at the Fairfield Inn at One Daytona, which is 1.4 miles from the college. We provide the meals and refreshments while they're here, transportation to and forth from the campuses. We pick them up at the airport, we pick them up at the hotel, etc. So all the logistics are being planned. We provide workspace on each campus and technology. We plan for them to be in the boardroom on the Daytona campus, when the room is spread out. Access to all spaces and documentation. Faculty, staff, and students will be provided for interviews that they have requested, and then, of course, swag. So they're going to leave with some really good-looking stuff from Daytona State. Why are they coming? They are coming for 4 reasons. To verify what was provided in the compliance certification report, which is an 800-page document we've already sent off to them. To follow up on anything they found non-compliant in that report, which was very little. We've addressed everything, we have answered it all, and that has been done in. So they might have some follow-up questions on some of those, and we'll be ready for that. They're here to ensure there's adequate facilities and student support services, which is why they will go to campuses and look. The chair of this site committee, Dr. Campos, is a dean of library services at his home college, so we expect that they'll want to see the libraries. And this is a very big part of the visit. They will be evaluating our quality enhancement plan known as COMPASS. So you have a copy of my presentation and also some smaller pieces of marketing publicity about COMPASS. And I'm going to go through a few of those details about COMPASS. What methods will they use to evaluate us? Well, they'll listen to presentations. They will interview students, faculty, and staff. Some they will specifically ask for. I'd like to schedule time with the president. I'd like to schedule time with the chief academic officer. But they also walk around campus and just talk to people they run into. So we have to get the word out. That's why you trip over COMPASS stuff everywhere you go, which is exactly what we wanted, because they will ask students, what do you know about the QEP, and tell us what it's like to be a student here. They will tour campuses, and then of course there will be documentation. And they can ask for some other stuff too. Lynn, I think you might not have the latest version of this, because I had a section about the board. So before I get into COMPASS, let me just go over that specifically. The institution has to have a governing board with at least 5 members that is the legal body with specific authority over the institution. There are specific responsibilities of the board, and they may ask you some of these things or they may not. I think they're going to ask you some general questions, whoever they interview off of the board, and they did ask to meet with 3 people, probably you, Dr. Howard, and 2 others. The responsibilities of the board are the following: ensure the regular review of the institution's mission, ensure a clear and appropriate distinction between the policy-making function of the board and the responsibility of the administration and faculty to administer and implement. And that is kind of at the heart of what they look for, that the board knows they're the policy makers and not the administrators of those policies. That the board selects and regularly evaluates the institution's chief executive officer, which it does. That the board defines and addresses potential conflict of interest for its members, has appropriate and fair processes for the dismissal of a board member. We don't actually have a policy on that. It's in state statute, so we're covered there. A lot of public institutions aren't covered on that one, but it is a SATS requirement. That the board protects the institution from undue influence by external persons or bodies, and that the board defines and regularly evaluates its responsibilities and expectations. And that's why you all do that self-evaluation every year. So I think the thing to remember if we're talking to members of this team is that none of them are from Florida. And that means they aren't necessarily familiar with how we do things. And I'll also say we're in the news a lot. And so there might be some questions about Florida in particular. I think that they'll start with just asking, how often do you meet? How many members are on your board? Do you have a standing any standing agenda items? Have you been kept up to date about the SACS visit and about the QEP? And it's important, I think, just to know about the QEP and be able to say that, yes, we have been. They might want to know if you have been aware of the process by which we selected the QEP. So let me talk about that for a few minutes, because that really is the focus of their visit with us. The Quality Enhancement Plan, which is called COMPASS, started development 2.5 years ago with input from all areas of the college, and that's a very important point to make. It would be great to emphasize the student voice in creating this through student surveys, through focus groups. You may remember that we began with a general call from the Planning Council about topics that were possibilities. They got narrowed down, and we eventually voted on three different topics that were developed and presented to the college community. And it was announced last fall that the one focused on coaching and mentoring would be the winner, and that is what we call COMPASS. It's also important to note that the Quality Enhancement Plan must be grounded in research and in our own strategic plan and data from our students. So SACS is very specific that this cannot be an idea somebody had that it sounded fun. We have a document that we've turned in, it's 48 pages. It contains a great deal of research on the college and why we thought this topic would be the most impactful for our students and would fit in with our strategic goals and plans, which of course you as the board agree. This is the logo, and it is an acronym that it helps you remember what it's all about. COMPASS stands for Coaching, Mentoring, Persistence, and Student Success. So the document that explains the whole proposal, and it is a proposal until SACS approves it, it remains a proposal. We turned it in on Monday of this week. Who does this impact? It would be great if we could do something that impacted every single student at the college, but because we have to measure it and we have to show the improvement, they guide us in selecting a group of students to focus on. So if it works well with this group, we hope to expand it more broadly, but we're starting with first-time in college students who are in the AA degree. And I'll explain more about why that group. What is it? Well, ANACA is two things, coaching and mentoring, and they're different. An academic coach is assigned to each student after they apply, but before they enroll. And the idea is this coach, who is not an advisor, and I think one of the things they'll ask us is, what is the difference in an advisor and a coach? Well, the coach is not there to help them pick their classes. The coach is there to talk to them about how much time do you have to attend school? Do you work? Do you have a family? Let's talk about your larger goals. How much time do you want to spend on this degree? When the coach helps direct the student, by the time they get to advising, they're in a much better position to effectively pick program of study and the classes that they want and need. This coach will stay in touch with them throughout the whole first year that they're here. We know from literature that coaching is very effective, and we have spent a lot of investment within the college in learning more about coaching. I know Dr. Goldis has really spearheaded this. She wrote this part of the proposal. It is aimed at very solid research and our own feedback from students about their advising experience, where they often say, I wish I had a little more time with this advisor. I wish I could have talked a little more about my career development. But we only have so many advisors and we got to move them through. So the coach will fill that gap. The mentors are different. That can be anybody at the college, and in fact, I think we will have many, many people. I know I will sign up right away, I know Dr. Lavasso will. Who will volunteer to be a mentor for a student in an SLS 1122 class. So those students are AA students. They don't have to be. Others can take the class as well. But all AA students must take SLS 1122, which is the Success Strategies class. So we'll pilot it this fall. by having two sections of students be assigned to a mentor in this class as an assignment. So they'll go to see this mentor. Might be that they randomly get Dr. Lovaso. They'll probably be very excited and a little scared, but they'll go and sit down with Dr. Lovaso with some guided questions, and then that's part of what they do for the class. We'll also have a mentor liaison, which is a student worker who will be trained to be a peer mentor, and will work with students in guiding them towards other mentoring opportunities at the college. So if you remember Compass, you remember CO for coaching and M for mentoring, that's the gist of it right there. What do we hope to get out of this? We hope to increase the percent of students who enroll, not just apply, but enroll. I've learned from Dr. DeQuina, that's called yield, and in his world, so we want to increase yield. But basically, it's just the student that comes and talks to a coach, we hope they make that choice to enroll at Daytona State. Reduce the withdrawal rate in the first year. Increase the percent of students who have a declared major in the first 24 credit hours. So we know when they pick a major and they get started on it, they graduate sooner. So the ones that are kind of, I don't really know what I want to be, we hope the coach will help them narrow in on what they want to do. We hope that this will increase feelings of belonging. This is also called mattering in the literature. So you will see references to that in our QEP that will increase the feelings of mattering. And ultimately, retention and completion. So that is our main goal. Any questions?
It's a great summary. Questions? Good.
Maybe we can send those couple slides that have the actual...
Yes, I am so sorry about that. That's my fault.
The actual SACS requirements for board members.
We can do that, and we can also provide some hypothetical questions and so forth once we determine who they're going to be talking to.
Another thing that might help, just because boards come and go in terms of meeting and not in a day-to-day like you, Lynn, if you could just maybe go back in the minutes, because I know we talked about the visit, the QEP,
yes,
at so many times, and if we just had a reference that, you know, here's some of the things that we talked about at board meetings, it'll jog
That's
our memory.
That's a great idea. Yeah. And it would be good to mention that to them. You know, we've covered this several times. Here's an example. That'd
yeah.
be great.
Yeah, and I think this PowerPoint that you have a copy of is a great little cheat sheet. The other thing we put in your at your seat is this Fast Facts. I usually have this in my hip pocket. It'll tell you our enrollment by campus, by programs, special populations like dual enrollment, veterans, athletes. It's got just great data in there, so it's, you know, really easy to carry with you. Take a look at it. That way, some of this thing could be top of mind type of data that you might want to have.
It's a great tip about the mentioning the student voice, and I bring that in even if we're not talking about QEP, because I think of current and past board members that are constantly asking, how much is it going to cost the student? You know, how does this benefit the student? We hear from our students at every meeting, great presentations, so things like that. Just like we care about the students, that's what SACS cares about. So, great, thanks.
Thank you.
That's all I have. So, Kelly, the floor is yours.
Sure. Thank you for that presentation. I felt like as we went through what the board needs to know, that we actually do indeed know those things and abide and behave that way. So that's those things. I also want to say congratulations to Randy for his reappointment as our chairperson. He's done an excellent job. I look forward to continuing this way. And again, for the program today, always a delight, always proud to be here, proud to be on this campus, proud to see in person really what we're doing. And I guess just the last thing is I've told Tom this, but my daughter did the soccer summer camp, and she's a really tough critic, and she gave it a 10 out of 10, even in that crazy wild heat. So for the student athletes that were helping with that.
Thank you. Lloyd?
First, I want to apologize to Dr. Lovaso. I was not sure that heart problems were contagious. And, you know, the first time it went to Randy Levi. Gary, the Y. So I figured, well, pass it off. But then when you had an issue, I said they're going to kick me out because I'm the one that brought it here. But I'm glad to see that you are recovered. Mm-hmm. You got a stent, didn't have anything else. You're back to your old methods. You just have to slow down a little bit and take care of yourself. I am thrilled to be here today and to see what transpired. Your staff and all the folks that put this together, they just do such a wonderful job. And I can't thank them enough. Thank you for what they do for us and for the school. I just want them to continue. I know they will. And I can't wait to see this new firing range and all that stuff, because I might just come out here and practice a little bit. But it's always good to come to a meeting and to be among the best that there is in the colleges in not only the state of Florida, but in the country. And specifically to that teacher thing, that we got a front page attaboy from the News Journal. That's not often, but it shows that we're doing what we're supposed to do. So my message always to you, Tom, is doing things, keep doing. Thank you.
Randy.
I think the highlight of the day is being over there at the range and seeing all of the effort, the work becoming a reality. The other part of it is that it was impressive to feel the pride that the cadets had in being and participating in the program. I just got the chance to talk to a couple of them. One of them is being sponsored by Eustis, which is where the former Daytona Beach PD, Spike Capri, is. So I sent my own version of hello to him. He's an old friend. But I think, I am all about return on investment. And I don't think anybody can argue the return on investment and participating in Daytona State College. What once was an education that probably lacked the experience of a college, you've done a remarkable job of incorporating college life as well. So good stuff. I'm with Lloyd. I'm glad to see you back. I didn't mean to pick on you that hard and cause all that extra stress, but glad you're healthy. And it's good to be on the board and to work with you, but it's also good to have a friend back.
Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. And with that, thanks again for everyone. Thanks for all you do, and we'll adjourn the meeting.